This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
In Louisiana, popular TikTok creator turned suspected killer, Tarion Thomas. Timeline of events has been released. We're going to cover all of that. Country music icon Garth Brooks is scrambling after sexual assault allegations surface. And an Arizona man is arrested for the murder and decapitation of his mother. These stories and more coming at you today, Tuesday, October 8th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton. And it's October 8th.
It is October the 8th. And it sure don't feel like October the 8th.
They said today, well, yesterday, because we're recording a day early, it's the last day of the 90s, and no humidity, and you know, it's going to be in the 80s from now on.
Right.
Which is going to be nice, right?
Yes, it would be very nice. And
Hurricane, is it Milton?
Yes. Yes.
Y'all were praying.
Look at Woody.
Y'all.
He ain't as bad with the names as he says he is.
Something about hurricanes. But the praying for y'all, be prepared. And it looks like Florida's going to get hit again. Same people in the same area. And we know what y'all are going through. And we're doing these shows and everything. But it just doesn't mean anything when you're going through that kind of shit, right?
That's right. And just two quick things on that. First of all, it's October, and that is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I know with my family and what my wife does, she's made her life's work, you know, being on the front lines of breast cancer and very close to our heart. And so, ladies, get your mammograms. And men can get breast cancer. Yeah. So if you feel a lump or something like that and you're a man, go get it checked out. Yeah.
I saw Sheriff Jason R. did one of his vehicles. They're marked units in pink now.
Yes. Yeah. Looks really cool. And anything that brings attention to that.
Support awareness and all that. Yeah, for sure.
And, of course, Woody mentioned that hurricane and multiple, all the prayers we can give, not only for Florida, but for North Carolina.
Yes.
Which, man, that's such a sad situation.
That is horrible. And, talked about it every time we record it. And, of course, we know what it's like to be in the aftermath and with no power and electricity and your home's destroyed and everything else. And hearts and prayers go out to y'all.
Yeah, amen to that. So
let's get down to some true crime time for Tuesday.
Well, and since last time we joined you, a lot has happened with one particular case, and that is a very popular TikToker by the name of Tarion Thomas was arrested after it is alleged she has killed a Baton Rouge therapist. So to catch you up on that a little bit, a therapist by the name of William Abram, was found wrapped in a tarp in Tangipahoa Parish. And this was on this past Sunday. So this sparked an intensive investigation. Obviously, you find a man wrapped in a tarp, and eventually they linked all of this to an individual that was a TikTok creator that has like millions of followers. His name is Tarion Thomas. And he goes by the name on TikTok of Mr. Prada. He became the prime suspect. And shout out to Unfiltered with Kieran's Kieran Chawla, who released a timeline of events on that. And I'm just going to cover that with you. September 28th at 11 a.m., surveillance video showed Abraham, I think it is Abraham, arriving at Thomas's apartment complex. According to the affidavit that was released, a violent physical altercation took place inside of that apartment. Now, in the afternoon, just hours later, investigators say witnesses observed Thomas struggling as he dragged an object wrapped in a blue tarp, never a good sign, down the stairs of his apartment complex and loaded it into Abraham's vehicle, which is a 2018 black Lincoln MKZ. It's not clear whether those witnesses saw Thomas dragging the object immediately after the altercation or if there was a significant time gap. I would imagine there would have to be some time gap because he had to wrap him in the tarp, etc. September 29th, the next day at 8:25 a.m., a Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's deputy responded to a call regarding a suspicious item wrapped in a tarp along Highway 51 near Fluker. Deputies identified that item as Abraham's remains. Investigators noted that Abraham was wearing the same clothes he had been seen in on surveillance footage when they entered Thomas's apartment that previous day. Court documents revealed that Abraham's body was wrapped in a gray comforter with dark-colored duct tape surrounding it. The documents also stated that Abraham's head was covered with a dark towel and that it appeared to be blunt force trauma to his head that killed him, at least that they noticed. September 29th, that same afternoon, Abraham's vehicle was spotted at the Jubin Crossing Shopping Center in Denham Springs. Y'all, that's a mall area here locally. Surveillance footage from the business, it was obtained from Academy Sports and Outdoors, and it reportedly showed Thomas exiting the Lincoln and walking into that store, and the Tangipahoa Sheriff's Office, they issued a BOLO bulletin regarding Abraham's missing vehicle. So, next day, 12:20 p.m., Baton Rouge police locate Abraham's vehicle at an apartment complex near Sherwood and Corsi in Baton Rouge. When officers attempted a traffic stop, the driver, identified by investigators as Thomas, he flees the scene, crashes the vehicle into several parked cars. He gets away. That afternoon, September 30th, investigators said after the pursuit, Thomas was given a ride from the Sherwood Forest area to his apartment near Picardy, which is on Essen Lane in Baton Rouge. A search warrant was obtained, and the EBR Sheriff's Office deputies, they searched his apartment. According to the arrest warrant, deputies found evidence of a violent altercation, including significant amounts of blood and multiple sharp objects and other weapons throughout that apartment. He didn't clean up after himself, right? That evening, the Tangi Sheriff's Office released photos of a black male identified as a person of interest in Abraham's case. The image captured from surveillance footage at Academy was also released before Thomas was officially named a suspect several hours later. So on October 1st, the Baton Rouge Police Department issued a warrant for his arrest, along with several other criminal charges for fleeing the scene. Sources in Dallas received a tip from someone who knew Thomas, which led authorities to downtown Dallas on that Tuesday night, where he was arrested without incident. He was reportedly sitting on a park bench when he was apprehended and booked into the Dallas jail. And that was October 2nd. Louisiana State Police matched DNA from Thomas's apartment to Abraham. EBR investigators contacted Thomas at Dallas's jail, and he invoked his right to counsel. He has said nothing since the incident. A judge did sign an arrest warrant, and he's currently being held in Dallas pending transfer back to EBR, assuming he will agree to extradition.
but has said not a word about it. There's a lot of speculation about what happened out there.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody really knows till he talks, right?
Right. Right. What about the what did he do on TikTok?
I saw a few of the videos that the media was posting. It wasn't really anything specific, just kind of doing his own thing. He was just talking. He didn't really have a subject. It wasn't like a true crime thing. I know that on some of his TikToks, he claimed to be bipolar. Right. And so a lot of speculation out there, though the authorities have come out and said it's incorrect, is that he was a patient of this doctor's. From what I've heard authorities say, that's not correct. But, it's all speculation until he talks. Yeah. And I guess the smartest thing he could do in his case is shut his mouth.
But it'll come out. They have whatever they have, and it'll come out in an indictment.
It's a big story. It's getting a lot of national attention.
I saw it on the national stuff. So yeah. Interesting. And how many TikTok followers did he have?
Millions was what I heard.
That's crazy. I mean, it takes all kinds, right?
Yeah. So,
hey, you ever had a surprise birthday party?
I've had a surprise birthday party many years ago.
What was that like?
I didn't expect it. Definitely surprised me. I didn't expect it, but it was nice and fun.
I have one sent it to me from my 40th birthday with all my high school friends and stuff like that. But to the you had one and I had one, but we both showed up for them.
Yeah,
even though we didn't know there were going to be surprise parties.
Sure.
But, well, let me take you out to Arizona, where a lady, a mother, was having a surprise birthday party, and she didn't show up for it.
Oh,
and
that's not good.
Then bad things happen. Alejandro David Gonzalez, 25, is accused of stabbing and decapitating his mom, 49-year-old Teresa de Jesus Cruz Rubio, in the family's Glendale, Arizona home. So he was arrested after he killed his mother, who was found decapitated inside her home after not showing up for her surprise birthday party that same day. Mm. So Gonzalez, 25, was arrested on September 28th, charged of first-degree murder and theft of means of transportation in connection with the killing of his mom, who I told y'all about. And he's being held in that Maricopa County Jail, which I used to love. That Cher had the tent cities, and they wear pink underwear and stuff.
Yep.
And
pink underwear.
But so on Friday, September 27, around 11:45 p.m., officers responded to the Glendale's Arizona apartment, conduct a welfare check on Rubio's sister, and saying her sister showed up and she found the woman dead and that her head had been cut off. Now, this is according to Glendale police. And according to the probable cause statement, authorities said Rubio's body was underneath a blanket with her decapitated head nearby, and that there was blood throughout her home. Police said she suffered multiple stab wounds to her abdomen, chest, and arms, adding that an autopsy will be conducted. But there were no signs of forced entry into the home. Mm. Now, Rubio's sister, the one that found her, said that the family had arranged a surprise birthday party for Rubio and that Rubio had previously confirmed her attendance for what she would believe would be a family gathering that day. However, as the hours passed, Rubio still hadn't shown up and wasn't answering her calls, and her sister became concerned. So she went to her sister's apartment, and that's where she found her with her head cut off. And family members told police they believed Gonzalez, Rubio's son, had recently been released from jail and was living with her. And they told police that Gonzalez had mental conditions and was capable of killing Rubio. So according to the probable cause statement, Rubio's sister also told investigators that she allowed her sister to borrow her burgundy GMC Yukon, which was missing. Authorities got surveillance videos that showed the SUV driving away from the apartment earlier that day with a man believed to be Gonzalez behind the wheel. The next morning at about 2:40 a.m., a Phoenix police officer spotted the Yukon at a gas station, and they saw Gonzalez getting out of the SUV. And then they took him into custody a short time later, and he had what appeared to be dried blood on his legs and socks.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then according to the probable cause statement, Gonzalez said during questioning that his mom had picked him up from jail, got him food, and dropped him off in her apartment. He admitted to smoking methamphetamines, imagine that, with a man he just met, whom he claimed did something to his mother. Gonzalez said the man stabbed his mother with a kitchen knife and that he only stabbed her and decapitated her after the man had already stabbed her. Right? Whatever.
Right.
At this point in the investigation, authorities do not believe there's enough evidence that suggests that Gonzalez had an accomplice. And that's, you know, according to all the videos and stuff.
Mm.
So he, his mama picked him up. She's getting ready to go to a surprise birthday party, and she never made it because homie cut her up, stabbed her up, and cut her head off.
That's,
you know, those... mom. She just got you out of jail, motherfucker. Yeah. That's just love and respect, I guess.
And there's really no way of even figuring out what causes people to do that.
There really is. I mean, it's just, I don't know. Can you imagine cutting your mom's head off? My mama just texted me this morning. Mama, I never thought about cutting your head off.
True. I'm sure she appreciates that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll go on to Tennessee. How about Tennessee by way of Mississippi, I guess you could say. And you Garth Brooks fan.
Man, I am a fucking huge Garth Brooks fan.
Me too.
I'll tell you, I guess it's like 91 when he first became a big hit, Friends in Low Places, actually, mm-hmm. right?
Hey, even earlier than that.
Yeah, I guess it would be around that first album. Because, you know, I'm going to tell you what, I went and bought my first pair of cowboy boots, and they were elk skin. Garth came out, and the hats were coming back and all that. But then shout out to Chase Tyler and Chase Tyler Band. When we end the Crew Bash every year, last song of the night, you've seen it.
Yeah.
I get up on stage and sing Friends in Low Places.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I love him, Garth Brooks. I think he's a class act. I agree with everything view wise and everything that he does. But he got divorced from Trisha Yearwood is?
No, they're married still.
Okay. But they live on the same compound
as his ex wife.
Yeah.
Correct.
And so they could raise kids together.
Yeah.
You got to respect that.
You got to respect that. And, he's in the news right now. Let's just say that.
Call him Baton Rouge.
Right. Well, country music superstar Garth Brooks is doing what he can to filter out commentary and minimize speculation amid reports of sexual assaults, allegations. The Friends in Low Places singer made headlines on Thursday, October 3rd, after being hit with a lawsuit alleging sexual assault and battery by a former employee. The defendant alleged a series of assaults that took place in 2019. The defendant, who filed as a Jane Doe, alleges the singer had raped her while working as a makeup artist for his wife.
What year?
This was 2019. Okay. The incident was said to have occurred on a work trip in a Los Angeles hotel room. The incident reportedly took place as the singer was taping a Grammy tribute performance. That particular lawsuit was also filed in California. Both Brooks and Yearwood frequently post on their Instagram accounts, and they show, you know, different aspects of their lives. So it took a lot of people by surprise that this was coming. I can tell you, I went through the entire lawsuit with Garth Brooks in particular, and it's very graphic, but I have some doubts on this one. And just some strange occurrences. And I would never go as far as to say, you know, I wasn't there. I don't have any direct knowledge of what happened, didn't happen. That's up to the courts to figure out. Right. But there are some questionable things with this lawsuit that I covered in my podcast, Exposed. So you can check that out if you want.
But shout out to you on being top of the charts.
Oh,
Exposed,
man.
Exposed files.
Exposed scandalous files of the elite.
Not only did he reach like the top 25 of society and culture, but now you reach the top
250 in the Apple Podcasts overall.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's mind blowing. But
go listen to it.
We do cover this case actually in detail, and I dropped that today. Actually, I dropped that as well. So listen to two episodes today. Yeah. This one, and I think I listened to Exposed. Well,
I
mean,
P. Diddy was a singer too, wasn't he? He was a rapper.
He's a producer. So he did rap on some songs, which he caught a lot of hell for from the Tupac and actually Suge Knight famously went on an award show and dogged him out for that. But he was primarily a producer, and he would discover talent and build talent is what they thought.
Like Michael Jackson.
Everybody in town, allegedly.
Obviously, P. Diddy is – got issues, right?
And he's got a lot of issues.
Like Michael Jackson, and some people still say Michael Jackson didn't do whatever. But come on, man, Garth Brooks, and it's 2019. You're talking about 5 fucking years ago.
Yeah, yeah. It's.
I mean, if you were raped, I feel sorry for you, but I don't know. It sounds like somebody. Yeah, I would hope if he's truly innocent that he. I mean, because you know he's got more money than
you can shake his dick at,
whatever. I would hope that he just goes balls to the wall on it. Now, if they were having a sexual relationship and he can prove it's consensual, go ahead, own up to it. I mean, he could be having any woman in the world.
There's no doubt about it, and I will say this, there's been a lot of things come out lately, and there will be a lot of things that come out where some people are involved in a lot of crazy shit that you would never think. And I'm obviously not saying, and in Garth Brooks' case, I do think some things are probably questionable in this, but it just goes to show you never really you think people. You only know what they show you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and look, and if anybody was raped, shout out to you for standing up for yourself. But if you're full of shit, then shame on you.
Yeah, but, that's right. Because that happens too.
Yeah.
And people need to keep that in mind. There are frivolous lawsuits that happen all the time.
I was going
to
say the bad thing that happens on most of the more high profile, the worst it's going to get, but the other motherfuckers going to be like, oh shit, they got to check.
Yes.
I can say this, and we were alone, and nobody can't say it didn't happen.
That's right.
And they try to write him a check.
100%, man.
Yeah, if he did it, then he should go to prison. But if he didn't, he should be exonerated. Hey, y'all, let me tell you about Mochi. Mochi is a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking medication-based weight loss treatment with board-certified doctors and dietitians to help them determine the best treatment options to accomplish that goal. Mochi's program is completely virtual, meaning you can access their services anywhere in the United States, and you will be meeting with their team online. You deserve doctors that listen. Mochi is dedicated to providing holistic, patient-centered care that prioritizes overall well-being with the goal of transforming how weight management is approached. Mochi Health takes a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visit with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and medications delivered to your door. Science-backed medications including GLP-1s like Ozempic and generic compound versions, affordable and accessible, regardless of insurance coverage. With Mochi, their dietitians work hand-in-hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle. Reach your weight loss goals with science-backed, FDA-approved,
GLP-1 medications and support from real doctors and guidance from registered dietitians and help with making easy and sustainable changes to achieve results. Y'all have seen this. My wife has done it. My brother-in-law has done it. One of my best friends is doing it, and it really is an amazing process that works. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off. That's join, joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off and let Mochi help change your life. Hey, y'all. One thing I've learned in 16 years of being with my wife is that PMS and menopause are a very real deal. Thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hey, do you experience cravings or bloating? Do you feel a little bit down or off? Do you struggle to find comfort in your body? Do you experience bad sleep quality? Well, now it's easier to manage PMS and menopause with Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, promotes healthy weight loss, and curbs carb cravings. It improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas, and it relieves hot flashes, and it relieves mood swings. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through premenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, and Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, and the occasional bloating and gas, or no desire to be intimate with someone, if you know what I mean. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar, is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, my wife says, is feeling like herself again. And that's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today.
Truckers, about the, I don't know what happened with the strike. They were talking about the ports were striking.
So they delayed it.
I know the president can do that for like, well, make them go to work for like 80 days or something like that while they try to work it out. Because, I mean, you're fucking crush everything
yeah.
in the United States.
Yeah.
Every truck you see on the road comes from a port, right? And truckers, yeah, take them off the road for 3 days and see what happens. Having food in the grocery stores and everything else. No. The only motherfucker be eating is me and you up my place.
That's right.
We'll be cooking some wild game and fishing.
Listen to Hank Williams Jr.
But, you look at truck drivers, man, Cindy's going to laugh when I say this, but I used to say, man, I'd be in the middle of all this high-profile shit. I'd be like, I wish I could just be a truck driver.
Yeah.
It'd give me a sleeper cab and just go drive across the country and
see and the whole country.
Be by myself,
country,
be an introvert and whatever. Well, good and bad in every profession. So let me tell you about a dude named Joel Adam Sassaman. And he is charged with criminal vehicular operation causing the death of an unborn child. Now, he's a Minnesota truck driver, and he was, allegedly, on a sex site just before rear-ending multiple cars, including an SUV containing a pregnant mom and three young kids. The mom's unborn child was killed as a result of the crash. Well, crashes happen, right? Well, here it comes. Joel Adam Sassman, 52, was charged with the, I told you, the criminal vehicle operation causes the death, blah, 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 in Rice County, Minnesota. And in the probable cause statement, authorities say that Sassman's truck rear-ended the Chevrolet Suburban, which pushed into a Ford Escape. Then the Ford Escape hit a Honda Accord, which pushed into a ditch. And then the Escape struck a Volvo SUV, which then hit a second Ford Escape.
Jeez.
Yeah, right? I mean, this big fucking truck pushing shit.
Yeah, chain reaction.
So in the front passenger seat of the Suburban was a mom who was 31 weeks pregnant, and she had three kids in the back seat. The mother is identified as Caitlin Hebert, Minnesota, according to the Minnesota State Police. And she was taken to the hospital when they did an emergency C-section, and the unborn baby died of blunt force trauma. So she must hit the steering wheel, right?
Right.
But prior to the crash, this is where it gets not good, but it gets fucked up. Prior to the crash, authorities say that Sassman had been searching a sex site and sending online messages while driving his 18-wheeler.
Wow.
So
that's a perfect time.
They said the defendant also did not have his full attention dedicated to the act of driving his vehicles. There is evidence of the defendant accessing websites and sending messages on his cellular phone shortly before the collision. If the defendant had been alert to the slow traffic, then he could have safely slowed his vehicle and the collision does not occur. And investigators found that leading up to the crash, Sassman sent eight sex chats, made several searches on a sex website, and sent a message to a woman on Instagram and changed the orientation on his phone to landscape five times. I don't even know what that means.
Turning it.
Oh, from, sideways.
From portrait to landscape.
Oh, mode. So he's videoing, like, or maybe he's making a
looking at a picture.
Yeah, that's it. You're right.
Wanting to
right.
make it cover right. the whole screen. Right. I would imagine.
So it's five times, among other actions. And so prosecutors say that Hebert's three children, aged 1, 3, and 4, also were hospitalized after the crash, as was the driver of the vehicle.
Oh, and man.
The 4-year-old son suffered scratches and bruises. 1-year-old received can you imagine doing this? My sweet baby girl, my granddaughter just turned 2 months yesterday. I can't imagine. Or the 1-year-old. 1-year-old son received staples in his head, and the daughter, who's 3, broke the leg in the crash.
Oh, my
broke
God.
Leg in the crash.
That's horrible.
So, I guess you drive across country, you're bored, and you want to sex, and just kill
people. Yeah, I mean, look.
You're driving a fucking, I mean, you know, you can take anything off the road in that.
Yeah.
It's like a tank running down the road.
Yeah.
And just vehicle slowed up. He just ran over all of them, killed that baby.
That's awful. And a lot of those accidents now happen because people are on cell phones
and
looking at things, texting.
And you're right. And that's the first thing they check now in crashes is your cell phone use. And they can tell, well, unfortunately for this motherfucker, he was beating off going down the highway and killed people.
Yeah. Horrible. You a fan of Swamp People?
Let me tell you something about that show. I'm gonna tell you right now, they're full of shit.
What?
It's staged, and I know some of the guys personally, and then the guy that you're about to talk about, he is actually a multimillionaire.
Oh yeah,
and not from the show. He was ahead of time.
Oh,
go ahead. I'll comment when you get done.
Well, and I got a lot of questions about this actually because I don't know a whole lot about tagging, right. But the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, Woody's favorite organization, mm-hmm. they've cited a star from the hit television show Swamp People for improper tagging of alligators after an undercover sting. Troy Landry, who was 64, was cited on 2 counts of failing to tag an alligator upon taking. Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agents received a tip on Wednesday, September 18th, that somebody was setting alligator lines at Lake Polarude in St. Mary Parish, despite not having permission to hunt on that property. The following day, agents set up surveillance in the area and discovered alligator lines that matched the description of the suspected hunter, who was not allowed on that property. Now, agents surveilled that area until they spotted Landry and two other people who were on a boat making their way toward an alligator line. During the check, agents discovered that Landry did have permission to hunt on that property. However, when Landry was asked about the alligator tags, he said he had two tags gifted to him. He added that every alligator in the boat was from the Atchafalaya Basin area and was tagged accordingly. Agents said Landry reportedly did not have the right alligator tags to hunt in that area. Now, according to the incident report, at first, Landry said he didn't take an alligator from the property. After agents proved to him that they were watching the entire time, Landry admitted he had taken an alligator from that area. Mr. Landry also admitted that prior to agents making contact with him, he cut a dead, stiff alligator loose from his line and let it float away. Landry received two citations, one for the improperly tagged alligator and the other for cutting the dead alligator from the line. Now, get this. According to the incident report, the boat and the boat's engine were seized in connection with this violation.
They get money off of that, and that, when they get convicted, they get to sell those, and they split up the profits between the court and the agency and the DA.
Well, obviously, Landry is among the group of Louisiana alligator hunters on Swamp People, and that show has been airing. Shoot 'em. 2010. So it's look, one of the longest running successful shows out there as far as reality TV is concerned nowadays, but. Couple of questions on this. Number one, who cares? Why are there tags for alligators? And look, I love alligators. Alligator people don't jump on me. What I'm saying is there's a million of them.
But let me tell you
here.
Why. Let me tell you why. The, before the show started, and that way, way back when, I'm talking about 20, 30 years ago, there weren't that as many as there are now. Now, here's the reason why. You have like A-Bears, alligator farm, Ponchatoula, mm-hmm. right? So they breed alligators. And for every, I think everyone that they keep, they have to release X amount into the swamp. But what they do on the tail of the alligator, they have those little bump things. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you would call them like little mini fins or whatever. They have to clip, I think, two of them off of each one that's showing that this alligator was born in captivity, and they released them. Well, then the numbers grew so much to help control the population in the wild. The Department of Wildlife and Fisheries issues X amount of tags,
mm-hmm.
and now it's kind of like a grandfather system. It's hard as fuck to get an alligator tag, and it's only I think it's the only the month of September is when it's only 1 month a year that it used to be only 1 month a year that you had to have a tag. And that you go out and hunt alligators.
Yeah.
So the tagging restrictions are very detailed. When you tag the alligator, like the one he cut that was dead, if you have an alligator on your line that's dead, you got to use tag on anyway. But you only got X amount of tags, right?
Right.
You may only have two.
That's why he cut the line.
You cut it and let it go because the water's hot and the meat's going to be no good and what have you. They also do it by areas and like every like deer's hunting areas are throughout the state's broken down area 1 through 9 or and so it's really restricted, but they have scientists. It's not, and I affectionately refer to them as possum cops. They're my good friends. They do good shit, and they also control the waterways and active work, boat crashes and stuff like that. They're the enforcement branch, but they also have the side that studies animals.
Yeah.
And like deer, the biologists. And the biologists that study the alligators. And when they give the tags, it's to help control the population from, you know,
yeah,
showing up in people's yards or like deer. People understand that if there was no deer hunting season, the fuck deer would literally fucking starve to death.
Yeah,
the it's to help control the population. But he, look, Landry, I know his son, and they
Jacob.
They got a he's a super cool dude. They got a processing plant down there that's worth millions and millions of dollars. Yeah. So he not only goes out and hunts himself, everybody brings the alligators to him, and he buys them from them, and then and resells it.
Gotcha.
Whether it be the meat or the skins or whatever. But
interesting,
you know, I'm pretty sure.
But they can take your boat.
Oh yeah, they take
everything. Holy smokes!
Look, if you get
man.
Busted like on a deer hunting violation, or whatever, they can take your truck, your rifles, fucking. Of course, they take the animals and anything else. And
wow.
And you are, look, you don't fuck with those dudes. They do a good job, even though if they're going off incorrect information, Swim can tell you about that. But anyway. So let's go. I'm gonna stay out of trouble. Let's go. But shout out to those guys. I mean, you know what? The one thing about them being a regular cop, you might show up on a call and whatever. Somebody might have a gun or not have a gun. You approach a motherfucker in the woods or on the water like that, you know they are.
Oh yeah.
And I had one old game warden friend of mine. He's now deceased. That he told me he thought he'd been after this one guy forever. This guy was like killing 20, 30 deer way back when we didn't have any deer heart. Hey, y'all. Changing my wardrobe from summer to fall? Hey, it's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. Look, I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band for $59.90, and it's heavy duty, it's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got a 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that dude out this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater and heather gray. And I'm telling you, these are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later. Hey, y'all. You want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with the subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to become curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. Look, we homeschool our son. No doubt about it. He's more of a visual learner, and we use IXL, and Cindy teaches him, and there are so many different benefits to the program. It adapts to exactly what he needs in different areas. So IXL is the perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum. IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational games, lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering.
IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead like our son, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. Kids love IXL's positive feedback awards and educational games. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. And don't forget, Real Life Real Crime listeners get 20% off. Y'all, we really do use this product, and it's been a godsend.
And he followed him in the woods one night. He's like, I'm finally going to get him. The guy shot, and he was like 4 miles back in the woods. No four-wheelers, none of that bullshit. And the guy shot the deer, and it's like, fuck. He said, if I arrest him now, I'm going to have to drag that fucking deer out. So he let the guy drag the deer all the way to the road and arrest him when he got to the road. So they do a good job, and there's a reason, a time, and a place, and certainly it's a calling to be a game warden. That wasn't mine. I don't know, y'all. Just, you know, true crime stories. Here we go. So more than 2 months after a beloved U.S. Postal Service carrier, mailman, was killed in a shooting while working her mail route in Chicago, authorities have arrested a teenage boy on a murder charge. 15-year-old suspect, his name has not been shared, was arrested on Monday, September 30th, and faces a first-degree murder charge in connection with the July death of 48-year-old postal worker Octavia Redmond. And it's unclear if this 15-year-old has got an attorney or anything like that, but Redmond was found in front of a home in the city's West Pullman neighborhood when someone shot her multiple times and fled the scene in a vehicle around 11:40 a.m. on July the 19th. Now, police said that private camera footage helped investigators identify and chase the movements of the 15-year-old suspect before and after Redmond's killing. They added they also received an anonymous tip, which helped identify the teenager as a suspect. Kim Sanders, who goes to work in the neighborhood, told KCBD News back in July that Redmond was like a mom to the whole neighborhood. She said, my heart is shattered because she was such a nice lady, and she had just come up and down the block and delivered the mail and didn't bother anybody. Now, according to another news channel, ABC7, Redmond worked for the Postal Service for 15 years. And shortly after the shooting, the U.S. Postal Inspection Service offered a reward up to $250,000 for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or people responsible for Redmond's killing. And we don't, it's not clear at this time if the award's been paid out or not. Her family raised nearly $8,000 to help with the funeral expenses and all that. But it's just stupid. Killing a post person and broad daylight delivering the mail.
Yeah.
Oh, you know,
it's federal crime.
Most people don't realize the Postal Service has their own police department.
Yeah.
The postal inspectors. You won't fuck with them motherfuckers.
No.
So, hey, you could lie to a local cop or a state cop that if they ask you a question about something, you lie to a federal cop and they can prove it. It could be a small white lie. They put you in, I think it's like 10 or 15 years in prison.
Yeah, and let me tell you, the federal prosecutors, federal government has a 98% conviction rate. Mm-hmm. If you're going to court against the federal government, you're 98% of the time you're going to lose.
Let me tell you something. I have had the feds cherry pick cases because they're not going to take one they can't win.
Right.
And the, I mean, they'll be like, if you arrest somebody on federal charges, naturally you got, you know, you're going to have to go to federal court. And the FBI or the DEA, whoever, whatever agency it falls underneath, they're going to have an agent assigned to it too. And look, they'll take that bitch and run with it because you've already given it. You wrapped up the whole thing, and it's you made the arrest and everything. Then they won't take it and say, "Oh, let's
that's right,
that's another one notch in our belt."
Right? Yeah, that's right. But if they take it,
they believe
they're going to win that case. So, wow.
No, but they, if they don't believe it, they just don't take it.
Right.
I've seen that a lot of times too. Yeah. When people I work with, they're like, fuck that. I'm not taking it. You didn't do this and you didn't do this. I'm like, but motherfucker, this didn't happen in a church on a Sunday with a million witnesses. You know?
Right.
These are bad people.
Yeah, we're not in a perfect world here. Right. Well, we're going to give you a super cops, but we're going to give you a super cops, and I'm going to call this first responder edition.
All right.
And Woody brought up at the start of this podcast, Hurricane Helene and that the hurricane that's currently headed for Florida. I'm going to tell you a story that really, really touched me when I read it, and I thought it would be something really good to pass on to all you listeners out there. And that is this story from a first responder who passed away rescuing people in Hurricane Helene. So I'm going to read you this article. As the Hurricane Helene waters rose around the Nolichucky River in Tennessee, Boone McCrary and his girlfriend and his chocolate lab, beautiful dog, headed out to his fishing boat to search for a man who was stranded by floodwaters that had leveled his home. But the thick debris in the water jammed the boat's motor without power, and it slammed into a bridge and capsized. McCrary and his dog Moss never made it out of the water alive. Search teams found McCrary's boat and his dog 2 days later, but it took 4 days to find McCrary, who was an ER nurse whose passion was being on his boat in that river. His girlfriend, Santana Ray, held onto a branch for hours before rescuers reached her. David Booten, the man who McCrary had set out to rescue, was very distraught when he learned that McCrary had died trying to save him. "I've never had anyone risk their life for me," Booten said. "From what I hear, that was the way he has always been. He's my guardian angel, that's for sure." The 46-year-old recalled how the force of water swept him out his front door and ripped his dog, Buddy, the best friend he said he had, from his arms. Booten was rescued by another team after clinging to tree branches in the raging river for 6 hours. Buddy is still missing, and Booten knows he couldn't have survived. McCrary is one of at least 230 people killed by Hurricane Helene's raging waters and fallen trees across 6 states, including Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia, and was among a group of first responders who perished while trying to save others. The hurricane caused significant damage in nearby Unicoi County, where flooding swept away 11 workers at a plastics factory and forced a rescue mission in Irwin, Texas, at a hospital. McCrary, an avid hunter and fisherman, spent his time cruising the waterways that snake around Greenville, Tennessee. When the hurricane hit, the 32-year-old asked friends on Facebook if anyone needed help. That from his sister, Laura Harville. That's how he learned about Booten. McCrary, his girlfriend, and Moss the dog, they launched into a flooded neighborhood about 7 p.m. on September 27th, and they approached Booten's location, but the debris-littered floodwaters clogged the boat's jet motor. Despite pushing and pulling on the throttle, McCrary couldn't clear the junk and slammed into the bridge about 2 hours into the rescue attempt. I got the first call at 8:56 p.m. and I was a nervous wreck, his sister said. She headed out to the bridge and started walking the banks. Harville organized hundreds of volunteers who used drones, thermal cameras, binoculars, hunting dogs to scour the muddy banks. Of course, they're dodging snakes and everything else out there. On Sunday, a drone operator spotted the boat and they found Moss dead nearby, but there was no sign of McCrary. Searchers had no luck on Monday, but on Tuesday they noticed vultures flying. That's how they found McCrary's body about 21 river miles from the bridge where the boat capsized. The force of the floodwaters carried McCrary under two other bridges, under the highway and over a dam. Bouton, 46, isn't sure where he will go next. He's staying with a son for a few days and then hopes to get a hotel voucher. And McCrary's last TikTok video posted before the hurricane shows him speeding along the surface of the muddy water to the tune of Wanted Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi. Love that. Some people asked if I had a death wish. The truth is I have a life wish. I have a need for feeling the life running through my veins. One thing about me, I may be crazy, perhaps a little bit reckless, but when it comes time to put me in the ground, you can say I lived it all that way. Wow. And, you know, that gives you a lot of perspective.
I was about to say the same thing. We've lived so many storms and of course, you know, great flood in 2016 and things like that. But the people, you know, they hear about it on the news, they see the destruction and stuff like that, but damn it, you just don't get it unless you've been through it. And
that's right.
I know these people, you know, going out in the boats and stuff and trying to save other people. It's such a hero thing to do, but people just do it.
Yeah.
And it's so dangerous, and there's nothing more powerful than moving water.
That's right.
And I mean, not fire, not wind, nothing is more powerful than moving water. And that boat, I can see what happened. The intakes get clogged with all the shit that's floating down the river, and they probably hit one of those pylons, right?
Yeah, likely. And I'll tell you what, I had a friend who went out there just this past weekend and came back and said, there's not the first power company in North Carolina in that area. There's not the first FEMA company anywhere in that area. It is literally people saving people. And this person said, there's likely thousands of deaths. They haven't even scratched the surface of looking for people.
And there's going to be so many there. Just like after Katrina, so many that are still missing.
Yes.
And you're never going to find any part of their body.
Yeah, these are up in the mountains, man.
And then different. You talk, too, about what people don't realize is that water is – it's not like you're in the Caribbean. It's fucking – it's dirty, mud-washed water. But guess what? It's carrying all the snakes. It's carrying all the bad shit, all the trash, and – when it runs, especially in forest valleys and stuff like that, that body
going it's like all, rapids.
21 fucking river miles. That's what we call nautical miles, bro. Yeah. A long ways.
Yeah.
I have to look it up, and I'm not going to do it right now, but it's I think it's like three times per land mile. So you're looking at us. I mean, I don't know. Prayers and thoughts and love for y'all and for everybody that's about to get hit by this next one. And I mean, man, we get it, people.
Yep.
I don't know.
All right. Any final thoughts?
No, that's it. I'm praying for them people. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, we'll wrap up today's show. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.